God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bow to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthened his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Let's take God's word tonight and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. And then also we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 once again as well. But we want to look at the subject of praying in faith as a church. Certainly we are to pray in faith as we pray individually and pray in our prayer closets. But when this matter of corporate prayer, and which we started looking at last week, and I think the week before too, but just seeing some things that God has for the church and the power that comes to the church when we have prayer times together. And so in Luke chapter 24, we find the Lord Jesus Christ talking to the apostles and gives them the Great Commission. And he says that he wants them to, in verse 49, he wants them to go to Jerusalem. Here's what it says. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And so the disciples do exactly that. And they go on back to Jerusalem. They worship the Lord, honoring him as a church body. And they come to an upper room, which we saw last time, and they're praying with one accord. And as a result of their obedience, as a result of their prayer time before God, we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4 that the Spirit of God fell, and they were all filled. The church house was filled. The people of the church were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I do pray that you would bless our few moments together in your word tonight. We want to be a blessing. We want to be able to help your folks, Lord, help all of us to grow in this matter of faith. And I pray that what is said from your word this evening would indeed sharpen our faith as we approach the Lord, whether it be in our private time with the Lord or whether it be those moments of time we have as a church seeking God for the blessings of Christ upon our assembly. So God, we pray that you would bless our fellowship and our time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. One of the principles of prayer, whether it's individual prayer or corporate prayer, is that we go to the Lord in faith, believing. That we go to the Lord in faith, believing. The church in the first century went to the Lord in prayer, with faith, believing. And they also were a unified church seeking God as one body before the Lord in faith. So what happens then in a church setting is that when the people of God gather together to pray and everyone is in one accord and everybody is agreeing with the people who are praying, that what happens is that, for an example, in our case here, if we're gathered together for a prayer meeting tonight and Brother Ted begins to pray and we are agreeing in our hearts with what he is praying, we are saying, perhaps vocally and certainly in our hearts, amen, that's right, do it, Lord, do it again. Whatever he might be praying about, we're joining with him and we're agreeing in faith, believing. And so when one of the sisters here begins to pray, Ruby begins to pray, and she's seeking the Lord on behalf of a friend or a family member, then all of us together, for the few moments that she is praying, that we're agreeing by faith, in one accord, believing for the thing that she is praying about. And when we come to the Lord in that way, and we are believing together as a church, it's like a cord that is being strengthened with one strand tied to another strand, to another strand. And as a result, you know, you got this this binding that takes place, not only as a church family in love, but also in a church family in faith before God, asking him to do these things that we're praying about. And when that kind of situation takes place, my friend, I believe that our hearts are moved and we are able to move the heart of God. We are able to move the heart of God. Our faith will be strengthened as God answers prayer. We will be of one accord and of one mind and of one faith. Because even in this past couple of verses we've read tonight, we find that Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They obeyed. And any act of obedience that you and I carry out from the Word of God, it's a demonstration of faith. You're believing God, what he has to say about whatever the matter might be. So he, Christ, tells them, go to Jerusalem. They obeyed by faith. So there they are in the city of Jerusalem. Acts 1:14 says they're in an upper room and they're seeking God together in one accord, in one heart, in one mind. And as a result of their obedience in faith that led them back to Jerusalem, they're praying to God in faith because Jesus said, if you will tarry there, I will send you the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, we are privileged then as his people to be able to take the Word of God and bring it to the Father and pray according to the Word of God, to pray according to the burdens and the desires that he's placed upon our heart. And faith coupled with obedience and faith coupled with praying is able to see great and mighty things take place. And I think we'd like to see that, don't you? I think we'd like to see the hand of God moving in a tremendous, powerful way. But it takes faith. God wants us to believe him. We want to pray with faith, believing God. In Hebrews chapter 1, you can lose your place here in Luke in the book of Acts. And we're going to spend some time here in the book of Hebrews. And I want to, first of all, simply define for you what is this matter of faith that God has called us to. Now we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So your first exposure to this matter of faith is when someone took the Word of God And they showed you the Word of God, and by faith, by trust in the Word of God, you believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross for your salvation. Amen? Aren't you happy for that? Aren't you thankful? Aren't you joyful in that? That was your first exposure to faith. And of course, God wants you along the journey of your Christian experience to grow in that faith. This faith that first trusted in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. And so God wants that faith to grow. Well, He defines faith for us in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 1. You're familiar with it, I'm sure, for most of us. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So, faith is. So then he goes on to give us somewhat of a definition here. And the word substance is a word that indicates assurance. It's a confidence. It's a hope that is expressed in the heart. It expresses, this particular assurance of faith is something that is giving evidence. What gives you evidence of the fact that there is faith, that you are trusting for things yet not seen. He goes on to this whole 11th chapter and deals with great men and women of the faith who served God, and they took steps of faith, beginning with Abraham and Moses and so forth. And we find that they took steps of faith, not seeing indeed what the end result would be for that step of faith, but they had the substance of faith. They had the assurance of faith. They had the expression of faith, the evidence of faith, the confidence in faith that was upon them and that led them to take the steps that they took. So it's this matter of believing God, having dependency upon God. It's believing the promises of God as given in the Word of God, taking hold of that Word, bringing it to the Father and to our Father in heaven and saying, "God, this is what you said." This is where prayer needs to begin, this praying by faith, believing. It needs to begin with the Word of God. If you skip down to verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, we find these familiar words. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now notice with me, we're thinking about the subject of prayer here, and he says that it's going to take faith. In the middle of the verse, it says, in coming to God. In coming to God, in the latter part of the verse, it says, in seeking God. He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. Coming to God and seeking God is what is also taking place when you are in that prayer closet and you are bowing before the Lord and seeking His face in the place of prayer. Prayer is coming to God. And we are told here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, to come in this matter of faith. 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 Sometimes the word faith is used kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of flippantly. But folks, it is vital. I mean, we cannot gloss over it. We cannot substitute some other kind of venue for what faith really is. It has to be something that God is doing in your heart through His Word, through the confirmation of the Spirit of God, and so that you are going to bow before the Lord when we come together and praying together as a church. We're going to come and have a spirit of faith, believing God, seeking God, knowing that as we offer up our petitions to the Father, that He receives them as a sweet-smelling savor, and it brings delight to God, and it brings delight to us also, because we have that privilege to come before the Lord. But think about it, my friends, tonight. When we kneel before God, we are coming to one who is the invisible God. None of us, the Bible says, have seen God at any time. We're coming to the invisible God, and we are believing that this invisible God, who is a spirit, is going to have an ear for our petitions. that we are by faith believing that He's going to hear every word that we have to say, every burden that's upon our heart. He's going to see that when we take the Word of God and say, God, this is what You've said, and I want to claim this promise in the Word of God. We have to come by faith. You haven't seen God. You've not heard His voice audibly. You have to come by faith. And Paul says that we come to Him and we diligently seek Him in that place of prayer by faith. Someone has suggested, I referenced this morning, but someone has suggested that Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and I'll show you great and mighty things. Someone has suggested that that is God's phone number. That's God's phone number. I like that suggestion, don't you? And that you can call God, call upon me. He says, here's my phone number. And by the way, will you have a phone number? Will we be able to talk, text and contact you and through mom or something like that while you're gone?
I'll have Wi-Fi, so like Facebook Messenger and stuff.
Okay.
Not like my phone.
Okay. Got it. Okay. You all wanted to know that, right? I could interrupt my message here. Is all right? Because we want to keep in touch with you. And you'll send us a message every once in a while. And mom through mom and, okay, through Marcus and through Joe and... Okay, keep in touch. Keep in touch. So here's God's phone number. He says, call upon me and I will answer you. So we give God a call and we do so by faith. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, we ask and we seek and we knock. So when we ask, it is given unto us. And when we seek, we will find. And when we knock, it is open unto us. These are things that we want to experience with the presence of our Lord in the place of prayer. David McIntyre said this, the soil in which the prayer of faith takes root is a life of unbroken communion with God, a life in which the windows of the soul are always open towards the city of rest. We do not, he says, we do not know the true potency of prayer until our hearts are so steadfastly inclined to God that our thoughts turn to Him as by divine instinct whenever they are set free from the consideration of earthly things. Notice a couple of things I want to highlight from his statement. He says it's the prayer of faith that takes root in an unbroken communion with God. And so unbroken communion with God is those times in your prayer closet. It would be in those times when we sin against Him, that we confess our sin, and we don't stay in that state of rebellion against God and sinfulness before God. It's being obedient to the Lord. It's having a desire to pray individually and to pray corporately and to pray without ceasing. And he says, in that kind of atmosphere that God wants us to live in, he says, prayer of faith, the prayers of faith spring forth. Oh, that's what we want, beloved. That's what we want. We want the prayers of faith to spring forth. And he says that we will experience the potency of prayer, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Folks, God is, the Bible says in Jeremiah 32, this God that we know, this Heavenly Father that we have, it says that there is nothing too hard for thee. God, Jeremiah says that there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God. It's, folks, it's something more than just something we can put on a plaque somewhere. God is the true God with whom nothing is impossible. Who can hold on to that? Who can embrace that? It's those who have faith. It's those who want to come before the Lord in the place of faith. And when we are coming and developing that relationship to God, and we are coming to Him in our prayer times by faith, can you imagine that this prayer meeting, the potential of church-wide prayer meetings, is tremendous? To know that together, if we are all seeking God and all asking God to bless and show Himself strong, and we are of one accord and of one mind and one heart, and we are praying together by faith, oh my, what it would be like to have a prayer meeting saturated with the presence of God and saturated with people who are praying together by faith. And so as we hear people praying, we in our hearts are agreeing. We have confidence. We are expressing that confidence in our hearts, or that word amen. You know, it's okay to use that every once in a while, because it means so be it. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. These things that are being prayed about, let it be. Lord, I have faith that it will happen even as we are praying. We don't want our prayers to stop at the peak of the roof, do we? We want them to ascend to the very throne room of God. And they will ascend there when we pray by faith, believing. Now, what happens when we don't have faith? What happens when we don't have faith and we're not praying by faith? Let me draw your attention to a couple of other passages. Look to Matthew chapter 13 with me, would you please? Matthew 13, and I should have said James chapter 1 also, because you're right there. So turn to James chapter 1 and then Matthew chapter 13, please. In Matthew 13, we have the words of Jesus. And in James chapter 1, we also have the words of Jesus. Don't ever forget that. The words of Jesus don't have to be in red to be the words of Jesus, right? And so we have the words of Jesus as well, but they're given to us through James, who is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 30, no, that doesn't look right. Yeah, that's right. Matthew chapter 13, sorry, and verse number 58. Jesus is preaching in his hometown. Who can tell me his hometown? Yep, it's Nazareth. Very good. All right. Get an extra breath mint on your way out. That's your prize for tonight, okay? How many remember when we used to have chocolate-covered candies out there? You know, they were gone within minutes. Within minutes. Kind of like the donuts I brought today. You know, usually maybe there'll be a couple left over. Not today. That's okay. That's why I bought them. But here, what Ruby, you got me all messed up. What did you say that? Okay, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew, she gave me the right answer. Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. And the Bible says that Jesus responds to their lack of faith. And in verse 57, he said unto the people of Nazareth, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Now look at this, verse 58. And he, Christ, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So he was limited by their lack of faith and their unbelief. And in James chapter 1, and in verses 5 through 7, we find that James is speaking about the matter of prayer as it relates to our need for wisdom during times of trials. And he says in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus said he did not do many mighty works because there was a lack of faith. And James says that without faith, men become double-minded. Because they become a split, they have a split heart, if you will, as it relates to what they are praying for. And they never really ask in faith. Lord, maybe you'll do this and maybe you won't. Instead of that, he says, let us ask with a faith. But what we find here is Jesus and James, they were both basically telling us the same thing. They're saying if you're going to ask for wisdom, if you're going to ask God for grace as you go through a time of testing or trial, you're going to have to ask in faith. And to think that the triune God of heaven that possesses all power and all wisdom and all strength, that he's going to be bound by his people's lack of faith. That he says, I will not respond. Because you don't have faith. We have bound the hands up of an omnipotent God through unbelief. and Paul, James, Jesus, they all say the imperative is that we as individuals and we as a corporate body that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, a church, that we want to say, Christ, you are in charge. We want to come and we want to pray in faith to a God with whom nothing is impossible. But it's going to take faith. In James chapter 4, we find that James speaks here about times in an assembly, in a church assembly, where there is division and there's fighting. Can you imagine that? And why does that take place? Well, he says it takes place because you have lust. You have a desire to be in the fisticuffs even, where he says a strong word. He says it's as though you want to kill each other over this lustful desire. And lust in this case doesn't necessarily mean an inordinate lustful sexual affection, but rather it means that your desires in your heart are not being lined up with what God's will is for you. And as a result of that, he says there's struggles in the church house. What a removal from what we saw in Acts chapter 1, when they're praying together in one accord and they're agreeing together and they're saying amen to one another's prayers and they're loving one another, because that was gives the Spirit of God the freedom to work in that assembly, to lead in the prayer. But anyway, in James it says when those kind of things are there, it's going to lead to people praying. They still might pray. They might still think that they are coming before the Lord in prayer. But he says, you're not going to receive anything. Why? Because verse 3 says that you are asking amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust. To ask amiss is to ask outside of the will and purposes of God. You remember we saw this morning that we pray, and we pray that the template for praying, Jesus said to pray it this way, that we want thy will to be done on earth even as it is in heaven. If any place where the will of God ought to be done, it's in the church house. It ought to be the people of God who are concerned about carrying out the will of God and allowing Christ to exercise his authority in his church through his people. And when that takes place, we're not going to ask amiss. We're not going to be asking to consume it upon our lust. And you can be sure that he says this because people are asking amiss because they have no faith. They have no faith. But to think that we can limit the Holy One of Israel to do greater and mightier works, because again, with God, all things are possible. I'm simply saying that faith, praying is imperative, but praying with faith is doubly imperative. It's a necessity. It's not an option. We've got to pray and seek God, and we've got to do so by faith. This past Wednesday night, after we got home from church, we learned that our grandson Judah was ill. And he had a fever of 101 degrees, and he was miserable. And they ended up taking him to the ER, Ellen, or the doctor? I think it was a doctor. I think it was there, and they were in time to be able to see a doctor. But anyway, so he ended up having some asthma problems this last Wednesday night. And Josh sent us a picture of him, and oh, he looked so miserable. And, some memories came back for us, because Joy had some issues with asthma. Josh himself had some issues with asthma growing up, as a little guy and so forth. And, we saw a picture and Judah just sleeping on his daddy's lap, and he's lethargic looking. He's got a tear coming down his cheek and so forth. And, our hearts, of course, go out to the little guy and so forth. And so, we've said, well, we're going to pray for them. And so we, spent some time praying for Judah. And it wasn't, when I came to the Lord, I sought to pray confidently. I want to pray with faith, believing. I want to pray demonstrating to God that I have assurance. And I did not come to the Lord and say, God, you wouldn't want to heal him, would you? You wouldn't want to do that. No, it's, Lord, Now, you are the great physician. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You are the God that created the human body. And you know how exactly it functions. And you are able to take our little Judah, and you are able to take him off the bed of affliction. And you are able to raise him up. To me, that was a prayer of faith. Rather than saying, Lord, you probably don't want to do this right now, but if you do, would you go ahead and... No, we want to pray with faith, believing. The next day, he wasn't really much better, but he was taking a turn for the upswing, and trying to, his breathing was a little bit better. But I can accept that. Because I prayed for him with faith, believing. And certainly, we say it this way. Well, sometimes an illness just has to run its course. And sometimes it does. But I'd rather much pray believing that God could raise him up. And by the way, he's better as of last night, doing much, much better. And so we thank the Lord for that. But I'd rather pray believing God to raise him up even as we prayed than to doubt God in the night. Pray with faith, believing. Let me read something to you, and then I'll be done. I have this booklet with all kinds of quotes in it. And there's a quote in here by a fellow by the name of James McConkie. And he addresses this matter of faith, believing. And I'd rather let him speak because it's such a strong statement. It's a paragraph. But here's what he writes. Listen closely, would you please? He says this: "For faith is the channel through which God's power is poured out upon his children. And in taking us out of the attitude of faith, anxiety clogs the downflow of God's power and blessing into our lives." He's talking about anxiety here, or worry. And anxiety and worry, of course, it cannot be coupled with faith. And so he says that anxiety is something, a spirit of worry is going to tap into that faith and extract it from your prayer life. He says this: witness the hindering of God's power at Nazareth. We are told that he did not many mighty works there. And in the literal rendering of this sentence, the truth is still more striking. He was there, not able to do any mighty work. There in that place, he was not able to do any mighty work. Question: what was it that the Son of God could not do? And why could he not do it? Why was it that he was hindered and baffled in his desire to do the mighty deeds as was his wont here in his own home? The answer of the Word reveals the secret: because of their unbelief. There was something in them that hindered him. For there is a condition upon our side to Christ doing mighty deeds for us, and that is that we be in the attitude of faith. Anything which hinders that faith hinders Christ's work. If we are not looking to him and trusting him, the channel through which his power flows to us is closed, and he is not able to help us, even though he longs so to do. That ought to increase our faith right there. He longs to do this work. We wonder sometimes why God does not succor. The word succor means help. Why God does not help us in our straits. We fear he has left us to ourselves. We are grieved by the seeming hiding of his face. But we do not see that in allowing the cares of this world to possess us, we barricade the only pathway over which the power of God travels from heaven to earth to deliver his children. It is not that God is not willing to help us. He is always ready, yea, eager to do that. But he is not able to help us because anxiety had throttled faith, along which alone God is able to act on our behalf. End of quote. Powerful words We don't want to limit God through a double-mindedness that steals faith from our hearts. And as a result, we cannot gather together, or we cannot go into that prayer closet by faith, believing that everything that we offer from our heart that passes through our lips unto the Heavenly Father, that there will be words, friends, that are faithful words. That there are words that are just filled full of faithful confidence that what we are praying about, God is able to do. And I believe with all my heart, when we pray in that fashion, God is going to answer. And God is looking for some people that will trust Him for that. Trust Him for those things that we are praying about together. Trusting Him for greater works. In fact, Jesus said that it was expedient for Him to go away so that there would be greater works amongst His people. And these greater works come as we tap into the omnipotent power of God when we are on our face before the Lord and we are trusting Him. Folks, oftentimes people think that Christianity is a very boring life. You know why that's so? Because they have not yet tasted that the Lord is good through faithful praying to a God who's able to hear and answer prayer and to discover the excitement of what it is like when a true God of heaven comes to you and comes to me and comes to our church and He says, out of love, I hear your prayer and I'm going to answer your prayer and I'm going to show myself strong in your life because I have heard you pray with a voice of faith before God.
Amen.
Wow. That'll get your excitement level up. To know that the triune God of heaven heard you and heard me and heard us together. He heard us. He heard us. And He responded to us. Nothing can beat that. Nothing. Challenge us to try it. Try it. Develop that prayer life that you have and grow in it this year. Grow in it this year. Spend more time with the Lord. And then come to our church meetings. And some of these times we're just going to have meetings of prayer. We're going to seek God and see what He can do. And see what kind of souls, well, how souls are going to be saved and how lives are going to be changed and how the next generation is going to rise up and be excited for God instead of walking away from the Lord. As is so often the case in our day, we can be able to see God do a greater work if we come to Him in one accord with faith, believing God. Trust Him. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank You that we could be here tonight. I pray, O Lord, that You would please help us. Lord, we want to have greater faith. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us to get into the Word of God to build our faith. And then, Father, as we come into our prayer times, that we would just express faith every time we pray. Lord, remove the doubt, remove the double-mindedness that can come to us. Oh, Lord, I can't tell you how many times, God, that, and You know that I have had a lack of faith in talking to You and praying to You. But Father, no more. I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to doubt You. I don't want our church to doubt You. Father, we want to pray with faith, believing God for greater things. For those souls that we're longing to see saved. For those decisions for walking with Christ that need to be made. For sanctified and holy lives that need to go forward for God. Lord, these are things that please the Lord. And we pray that You'd do a work through our prayer times. Lord, forgive us for how we have hindered You and bound You from doing greater works. And I pray, dear Father, that You would even speak to us tonight. Lord, throughout this week, would You come and minister to us and just even show us, Lord, if we are praying in doubts or lack of faith. Show us, Lord. I know You want to, so that You'd be honored when we pray before the Lord. Father, I pray for these dear folks whom we love and thankful for, and thankful for each one that we can love one another and encourage one another and be with one another. And I just thank you, Lord, for the church that you've raised up here. Please help us to be a testimony and a beacon of light in this dark community. And once again, Father, we pray that you would bless Stephanie, Lord, as she leaves. And we're so thankful, Father, for this opportunity that you're giving to her. Please keep her. Please bless her parting tomorrow and give her a great first day as she makes the excursion there and learns much about what her time away will be like. Help her to know that, God, you love her, that you're going to wrap your arms around her, and that you're going to keep her. And we'll thank you for what you do. Bless us now as we depart. Give us traveling mercies. And, Father, we look forward to our next gathering. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.